And we're looking at John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. And I don't know if we mentioned it in service or not, but Sister Ann is here tonight, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave her an excellent report, and everything is clear, clean, no radiation, no chemotherapy, none of that, and we're thankful for that. And you know, we were talking in the entryway this morning, it's nothing short of a miracle, and I think maybe I'll get her to share that with us next Sunday morning, if that's okay. But it's nothing short of a miracle, even the way that it was discovered. Just nothing short of a miracle. You know, God works in all things, in all ways, to bring things to pass. And so we're thrilled about that great report. All right, John chapter 12, verse number 20. John chapter 12, verse number 20. And I want to read two verses of Scripture that are found there. And they're verse 20 and 21. Let's read together. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I want to take from my text the last part of that statement. We would see Jesus. And Brother Brent last week preached a great message about Christians in modern society. And today I just want to speak about we would see Jesus. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, help me tonight to declare your word as you've given it to me. Lord, I pray that it will, Lord, be more than just a sermon or a message, that, Lord, your Spirit would get deep into our hearts, that you would begin to work in each one of us, Lord, to bring us ever closer to you and your purpose in our lives. Lord, I praise you for that. I thank you, and I just ask you to be at work now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. A few years back, we took a family vacation and went to Boston. And it was, you know, we spent some time, Harvard? And we walked around a little bit there, and we went to MIT and walked through the museum. It was incredible. If you ever get a chance to go, it's amazing. And then we decided that we were going to go to the Museum of Fine Arts. And it didn't really look all that far on the map. And we were walking. And we got there and we began to look through all the paintings. And I confess, I was that guy in the museum who had his camera with the flash and got told, "Hey, none of that in here." And I obeyed. Once I knew, I obeyed. I should have known. But of everything that they had, there was one display that I wanted to see. I wanted to see, they had some Picassos. And I wanted to see the Picassos. So we got to the place where the Picassos were. And, you know, they say about an art masterpiece that you don't really judge it. Your taste in art is judged by what you think of it. You don't really judge it. I confess I do not have an appreciation for the fine arts like maybe I should. And so I stood in front of that Picasso that I wanted to see. I just wanted to see it. You know, you hear about it, you read about the different things and, you know, some of the crazy things and all that. And so I wanted to see it. Because I had never seen upfront real Picasso. Now, obviously, it wasn't the guy, it was just his work, but I wanted to see, so I could say, like I am saying tonight, I have seen a Picasso. And that, and about $2, will get me a coffee at Tim Hortons. But I saw it. I really wanted to see it. Because I'd heard so much about it. Our text tonight is about when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's getting ready to be, it's coming up to crucifixion time. He's been with Lazarus and his sisters in Bethsaida, and it was there that Mary came with the ointment, and she began to anoint his feet and just anointed him for his burial. He's coming up to Jerusalem. The crowds begin to sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. It's a wonderful time. It's a great environment. It's a festival environment because it was a time of celebration in Israel. They were coming to worship. They were coming to have the sacrifice offered for the Passover so their sins would be rolled back again. It was a celebration time. And as Jesus was coming in, and they were singing their songs of celebration, and they began to wave the palm branches, and they put their coats down on the road so that the donkey he was riding on wouldn't even touch the bare ground. There were those who were in the crowd that day who began to wonder about what exactly what was going on. The Bible says that there were Gentiles who came to Jerusalem to worship. Now, they probably were what were known as proselytes. They had gone through some cleansing rituals. They were not quite Jewish, but they worshipped in the Jewish way. And so they had come to Jerusalem for the Passover to see what was going on, to be involved in what was going on, to get into the court of the Gentiles and to see what was happening. And they heard the commotion. They saw the crowds. And they came to Philip. Philip is one of the lesser known of the apostles and one of the lesser known of the followers of Jesus, but who still did a great work. They came to Philip and they said, Philip, you know what? We would see Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus, not just because of the crowds that were waving the palm branches, and not just because of the coats that were laying on the road and the songs that were being sung, but they had heard about Lazarus. And they said, Philip, we want to see Jesus now. I was thinking about that passage and the statement that they made, and I thought of, first of all, number one, how important it is for us that in our lives as believers that we've got to see Jesus. We've got to see Jesus. I'm preaching to followers of Jesus tonight. And there are some times that we begin a relationship with God, we begin a relationship with faith, and we see Jesus everywhere. We're focused on Jesus. We have our mind set on Jesus. We're everything is centered around Jesus and how good he is. But if we're not careful, we begin to lose sight of Jesus and the work that he does because of everything that surrounds us and everything that clamors for our attention. We lose sight of Jesus. It happens that we need to cut through the noise of the culture, the distractions that abound, to see Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, I've got this in the New Living to share with you. In verse 1, he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. And there he refers to the example of those who have gone by who are referenced in chapter 11. But also, there's a huge cloud of witnesses around you every day that witness your life of faith. He said, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And a weight can be defined as many different things in our lives, but most generally it's that thing which doesn't cross the line into sin, but which hinders my relationship with God. You see, there are some things that are not sin in themselves that can hinder my relationship with God. It can be my schedule. You know, we live in a time where families in particular, but individuals, will cram our schedule so full of things that are not evil or wicked in and of themselves, but that rob us of our relationship with God. You know, where we come to the point where we don't see Jesus anymore because we're so distracted by everything that is going on and we've slowed down in our relationship. You know, we start out with God and we want to pray and we want to get in the Word and we want to be in church and we just want anything that has to do with Jesus. We want it. You know, I'm always thrilled when, you know, new Christians come to me and they say, "Pastor, how come you only have church 3 times a week and then prayer meeting?" And I'm thinking, if I could get everybody out to church 3 times a week and prayer meeting. But there's that exuberance and that zeal. But if we're not careful, the busyness of our schedule and the things that we feel like we have to fit in. Why is it that we're too busy to pray, but we can watch hours of YouTube? I'll tell you what happens. We lose sight of Jesus. We're too busy to get into the Word. Because, you know, Pastor, everything is just racing along. But we're not too busy to spend hours online shopping. Or following sports. And again, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with online shopping. There might be something wrong with YouTube, but depends on what you're watching. But I use these as examples, but there are many other things. I remember years ago, a family that struggled to ever get established. And you know what their downfall was in getting to church? It was birthday parties. Strange, right? You wouldn't think. But that was the thing that kept them, because every Sunday, somebody was having a birthday party. And sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with birthday parties. I'm all for them. I hope to have many more of them. But things can get in the way, and they become weights within our lives, and we're very aware of the sin. But sometimes it's not the sin, the big sin that we look at. We're not committing adultery, we're not fornicating, we're not lying, cheating, stealing, all of those things. But it's the weights that begin to distract us from our relationship with God. And before we know it, church becomes drudgery. Reading the Word just becomes something that's so hard because it's just, why am I doing this anyway? And we miss seeing Jesus. And if our world is going to see Jesus, I know that there are some times that I was talking to somebody the other day and they said that there was a transformation that took place in their family from paganism to Christianity because somebody had a vision and it told them to follow Jesus. And that's marvelous. But in most cases, the way people see Jesus is through our lives. It's through your testimony, it's through your example, it's through your life that's lived before them. He said, there's a great cloud of witnesses, so let us therefore strip off every weight that slows us down. Notice that. The weight that slows us down. I want to ask you tonight, and I'm not going to ask for answers, But what could it be in your life that slows down your pursuit of Jesus Christ? For every one of us, that could be something different. Maybe you look and say, well, I'm going full speed ahead. There is nothing in the way. There's nothing weighing me down. There's no sin that's so easily attaching itself to me. I'm doing really good. But I want to ask you, what is that thing that it may not stop you cold in your tracks in serving God, but that thing that slows you down in relationship with God? What is that thing that may not be sin, but that takes the place of Jesus in your life? So that when you go to God in prayer, all of a sudden it becomes, I've got to put some time in here because Pastor might ask me. Instead of realizing that when I go to prayer, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to the one who saved me. I'm talking to the one who made me. I'm talking to the one who keeps my life in his hands. I'm talking to the one who loves me. I'm talking to the one who can actually do something about my problems. Because sometimes we get talking to everybody else and we never take it to Jesus. And everybody else becomes a weight that slows us down in our relationship with God. Because instead of going to Jesus and saying, here's what it is, do something about it, we go to everybody else and they tell us, and you got five different conflicting opinions. And then you're still trying to figure it out. You might just as well go to Jesus first. Things that slow us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. He said, don't let sin trip you up. Don't let sin weigh you down. Look after the stuff in your life that gets between you and Jesus. I can tell you, I was figuring up how many years I've been in ministry, and it's like 36 years now. And I can tell you that one of the things that I've discovered over all that time is that very well-meaning, good, sincere Christians, quite often it's not sin that causes them to lose their zeal and lose their enthusiasm for God. It's the other stuff. Jesus said that there would be a time when the sower goes out to sow and he sows the seed. And he said, and it fell among thorns and thistles. And he said, this is that which falls among the cares of this world. The everyday routine of life that gets in the way and begins to squeeze out our precious time with Jesus, begins to squeeze out the vibrancy of our relationship with God, until we may go through the motions, but we're really not seeing Jesus. And what happens then is we come to church, and if they don't sing my song, I can't worship. Can't do it. They sing that new song again, and it talks about Waymaker, miracle worker, and all of that, and they don't sing my song, I can't work. I'll tell you what's happened. You lost sight of Jesus. Because when you see Jesus, we all have preferences, but when you see Jesus, it doesn't matter whether you're singing Amazing Grace or Waymaker, or you're singing a fast song or a slow song, I will see Jesus in my worship, because my worship is not the song. My worship is to Jesus. And when I see Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. You see, sometimes after we've known the Lord for a while, We go through and we lift our hands and we clap and all of those things. But I want to ask you, have you seen Jesus? When you worship, sometimes, you know, I know what it's like. We begin to sing a song and then we get distracted by somebody beside us or behind us or in front of us. And instead of being blessed in the presence of Jesus, we begin to get caught up in the circular logic of our own minds. They said, sirs, we would see Jesus. We want to see him. and our world desperately needs to see Jesus. But they need a church. They need believers like you and I who have just been with and seen Jesus. Because what we do here on Sunday is not the main event. What we do here on Sunday is we gather together for worship so that we are inspired about Jesus. How can you not be inspired singing about how he's the way maker and the miracle worker and all those things? And I found myself kind of whistling it a little bit to myself, that even when I don't see it, you're working, and even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. And let me tell you, you begin to think about Jesus as the one who is always at work within your life. You begin to see Jesus. Well, if you begin to sing Amazing Grace, and you're reminded of the greatness of God's grace. But sometimes, you know, we sing the words, and even sinners will sing the words, but never get a hold of the reality that I once was lost, but now I'm found, and it was all because of Jesus in my life. I've got to see Jesus. I've got to see Jesus. I can tell you as a pastor that one of the things that I have to be very careful about, I mentioned 36 years, I've been doing this a long time. And you know, I told the Lord recently, it's just become a recurring prayer, that, you know, Lord, I've come this far, but I really want whatever time I've got left, if it's 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be, the Lord, I want that to be the most fruitful years of my life. I want it to be above and beyond whatever. But the only way that that can happen, you see, it's easy to get in a rut. It's easy to fall into the trap of routine. And it's easy, we know what to do and when to do it. But there's something about it that my heart's prayer has been, Lord, I want to see you. Because when I see you, I see people in a different way. You see, when you see Jesus, you don't see people only as irritants to be swatted away like bugs, but you see them as people who have needs that God wants to touch. We must see Jesus. When you see Jesus, and when you're with Jesus, you know, the disciples, they brought little children to Jesus, and the disciples said, send them away because Jesus is too important for them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And then it says he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. When you see Jesus, it changes your perspective of what is around you. When you see Jesus, and I can tell you right now, I'm not going to get through my message. This is point number one. I think that's as far as I'm going to get. But that's okay. I'm scheduled for next Sunday night too. When you see Jesus, you cannot look at the world around you with a judgmental attitude. When you see Jesus, I know the Bible teaches us that we condemn sin. We take a strong position against sin. And by the way, there's a lot of it in our world, in our culture. And if you rub shoulders with very many people and attitudes and words and actions and the things that go on, there's something about coming together in the church. And you see, the reason that we gather together in the church is for worship together that strengthens us. There's something about worshiping together that you cannot get from a webcast, you can't get it from a podcast, you can't get it any other way. There's something about worshiping together, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we gather together for worship. We gather together for the word. And the word will either encourage you or convict you, or it will challenge you, or sometimes it'll do all of those things and more. But we do that because we need God at work. And there's something about God chose through the foolishness of preaching that men should be saved. We need that. But the reason that we have that, the reason we have Wednesday nights and the reason we have Sunday nights, is because it prepares me for the week that I've got ahead. Now, I know I'm blessed. I get to talk to church people during the week, and I get to talk to others, but my work environment, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, it should be. You know, when I come into the office, Cindy's in the next office. And I got to tell you, she's not bad to work with. Don't worry, I'm not just trying to embarrass her. I have a point here. She's not bad to work with. And you know, she has this thing about my music being too loud, but other than that, she's not bad to work with. Oh, the things you go through. But I know that not everybody's blessed to have an environment like that. You know, some of you have people at your work that are openly antagonistic to Christians. Some of you have people at where you work that will want to tell you the latest thing that they did that you don't want to hear about. It's like, no one should even know about that. You know, you work with worldly attitudes and worldly ideas and you know, the whole dog eat dog thing, and sometimes you get challenged by it. And what we do here, our goal is that if you can see Jesus, if you can get to Jesus on a Sunday, if something that is said, if a song that is sung, if a prayer time that's prayed, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, or you're renewed in the Holy Ghost, and we should be renewed in the Holy Ghost every day. We should pray every day. We should read the Bible every day. But you know what? We need that little extra push, that little extra shot in the arm, that little extra you can do it that comes with being in church. Because when we worship, we together invite the presence of God, and we see Jesus uniquely. And when we see Jesus and we're reminded of Jesus within our lives, when you go back into that environment on Monday and Tuesday, you are reminded that Jesus walks with me and I am a child of the King. When I walk into that place, I am different than everybody else who is there. I am a follower of Jesus. I have seen Him. I have been with Him. And the way that I live and my attitude and my focus toward Him will point others to come and say, hey, we want to see Jesus like you do. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. These Gentiles came to Philip. They said, Philip, now here's the interesting thing. The Jews who were there said, we want to see Lazarus. You can read it. It's back. I think I might have it here. Let me just check. John 12:9. They said, we want to see Lazarus. They came not for Jesus' sake only. They said, we want to see Lazarus. Do you know they conspired to kill him? Because they felt like if we kill Lazarus, we'll kill the miracle. And this is not my message, but there are sometimes that there are some people that if you allow them in your life, they're not about seeing Jesus, they're about trying to kill your miracle. They said, we want to kill him because Jesus raised him from the dead. And we're not so interested in Jesus. We're not here just for Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Lazarus. And sometimes, too, we can become so intent on what God does that we fail to see who He is. I'm preaching about miracles on Sunday morning, and I believe in miracles. I believe that God does miracles. I believe He's going to do more miracles. But more than seeing a miracle, we need to see Jesus. Let me close with an Old Testament story. It's taken from the book of Daniel. It's about three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You probably know the story. And you know, for you Sunday school teachers that are here, I was talking to somebody the other day that hasn't been in church for years and years. Years and years. And we were having a conversation, and it was about a Bible story. And all of a sudden, they began to tell the whole story and what it meant. Because a Sunday school teacher had got it in their head and in their heart. You never know what you're speaking into somebody's life. It may be a little Bible story. It may be a Sunday school lesson. It may be a home Bible study. They may not respond right all at once. But you never know. They do not. It's there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken down into Babylon from Israel. They were captives. They were given Babylonian names. They, along with Daniel, were expected to eat the food that was offered to idols, and they said, no, we can't do that because, hey, we've been taught something in Sunday school. Now, I know they didn't have Sunday school for the purists, but they probably had Sabbath school. And they said, we've been taught something. And so if it's okay with you, we're going to eat vegetables and water. Now, I've got to tell you that I've done Daniel fast. That's basically vegetables and water. And I'm not down for that. Now, if you're a vegetarian or whatever, that's good for you. They said, we're going to eat this. And they turned out looking better and being better and smarter than everybody else. But sometime after that, bad advisors got the king to build a large statue of himself and to proclaim that everybody had to bow down to that statue. And so they got everybody gathered together, the statue's all built. The king issues the decree that anybody who doesn't bow down is going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and they had that thing heated up. And they said at the sound of the music, everybody's got to bow. You can imagine it's a huge flat space. I don't know where Daniel was. He evidently wasn't there. But when they began to play the music, everybody, Jew and Babylonian alike, began to bow down. Except for three guys. They say one is the loneliest number, but I've got to tell you that three guys standing among thousands of people who are bowing, that's lonely. They brought them to the king, and the king knew who they were. And the king said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you made a mistake here, guys. You didn't understand or what? He was trying to be diplomatic and find them a way out because he knew them. And they said, they were respectful. By the way, Christians should always be respectful. They were respectful, and they said, oh, king, live forever. We just can't do this. We can't bow. We only bow to God. We can't bow to this. And he said, well, I'm willing to give you another chance. And they said, king, like, you can give us a chance if you want, but we're not doing it. And there's sometimes in your life of faith, when you know what's right, you just have to say, I'm just not doing it. They said, you can throw us in the fiery furnace. We understand what's going to happen, but we're not doing it. So they took them and they heated up the fiery furnace because they made the king mad, and they heated up the fiery furnace hotter than ever before. They threw them in. And the king was feeling bad because he liked these guys. Sometimes a moment of anger is horribly destructive towards those that you love or like. That's a whole other sermon. They threw them in. The guys who threw them in died because the heat was so intense. And the king became worried and he said, well, tell me, what do you see? When you look in there, what do you see? And they said, you know, king, it really is the strangest thing. It really is. Because we threw three men tied up into the fire. But king, like, you can look if you want to. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here. He said, king, you can look if you want to. Come and see. But we threw three guys into the fire, but we see four. And they said, not only that, but the figure of the fourth man is like unto the Son of God. And they're walking around in there, and they don't have the ropes on them anymore. And this fourth guy is walking with them, and we don't know where he came from. But you see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew something. They said, king, if you throw us in there, God is able to deliver us. But if God lets us go through the fire, then through the fire we're going to go. Because we have a concept. We've seen a concept of God, and we can't let it go. Dear brothers and sisters, there are some times that life will take you through the fire. And there are times that God will say, I'm going to take you around it or above it. But there are other times that God takes you right through the middle of it. But when you have seen Jesus in the good times, you can see Jesus in the middle of the fire. We would see Jesus. Jesus. So we stand together tonight. Seeing Jesus means seeing Him in our workday. It means seeing Him when I come to worship, because worship prepares me for what's ahead. Seeing Jesus means moving beyond just seeing people. It means moving beyond just seeing others around me. The King James put Hebrews 12 and 2 as looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, it's very easy to become involved with the things of God and to miss seeing God Himself. It's very easy to, and I love routines, I love habits and habits of prayer and Bible reading and church attendance. Those have got to be habits in our lives. But sometimes they can become only a habit. I'm still so amazed every time I do my Bible reading. And I'm reading through, and I don't know how many times I've read it through completely, probably 30 or 40 times, and probably more than that, actually. And I'm going through, and I've read this passage before so many times. And all of a sudden, it's like the ink jumps off the page. And God knows exactly what I need to know, or where I need to go, or what needs to happen in my life at that moment. And He takes that particular passage that I've read so many times before, but it never really jumped out at me. It never really grabbed me. I'll tell you what happens. When you read your Bible expecting to see Jesus or to have Jesus speak to you, He will. When you come to worship expecting that as you worship that Jesus will move in your life, He will. When you go to prayer, not every time is going to be a shouting time where you feel angels all around you, but when you begin to talk to God and you take things to Him as your friend and as your Savior and as your Lord, You begin to see Jesus in your circumstances, in your life. To see Jesus. I'll perhaps get to finish this next Sunday night. But I want to encourage everyone who's here to take a look at your own life. Not anybody around you. Don't justify anything by anybody else. But to take a look at your own life. Are there things that may not be sin, but that keep you from really seeing Jesus in your life? Are there things that are crowding out Jesus in your life? Too busy, too preoccupied. It might even be that you came to church tonight and the whole time the service has been going on, there's been one thing after another that's just been going through your mind. And up to this point, you really haven't been able to plug in to worship to see Jesus like he wants you to see him, fresh and new. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, we would see you. We absolutely need to see you. Lord, as we come to worship on a Sunday night, and I thank you for each person that's here, we got to see you. And Lord, I pray for each individual in this place tonight. I pray, Lord, if our spiritual hearing has got dulled and we don't hear your voice like we should because, Lord, there's so many other distractions going on, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll take control of that in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, if we become so concerned about other people that we missed you, Lord, I pray we'll take control of that and refocus tonight. Lord, I pray that you will enable us to see you in our worship. But Lord, to see you in our lives, Lord, Monday through Sunday. Lord, that you would be, and our relationship with you would be fresh and new. Lord, because seeing you will keep us from sin. And Lord, I ask you that you would challenge us as individuals here tonight, God, that your hand would be at work. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. This song is an old, old song. We're going to sing it. But I'd like to invite you to, as we sing this song, to step out of your seat, come down here to the front, and we're going to pray together. But would you make it your prayer? It just says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Would you, in the next few moments, forget about what you got to do after church, forget about what you had to do before church, forget about what's going on the rest of the week, and just focus your mind. Say, Lord, I want to see you at work in my life. I want to see your presence. Lord, the evidence of your presence. I want to see, Lord, I want to see all that you've done in me that will inspire me. As we sing it, will you come and just stand or kneel or whatever, but Lord, would you just take some time to see Jesus tonight?